Larry Osborne shares this in his book, Innovation's Dirty Little Secret. He says, what could a team of medical doctors possibly learn about practicing medicine from a Formula One racing team? If the doctors remained teachable, maybe they could learn a lot. That's what happened at Great Ormond Street Hospital in London. After completing a 12-hour emergency transplant, the head doctor watched a Formula One race. As a car pulled into the pit, he noticed that the crew changed the tires, filled it with fuel, cleared the air intakes, and sent it off in 7 seconds. It struck him that it often took 30 minutes for his team of doctors and nurses to untangle and unplug all the wires and tubes, transfer a patient from surgery to ICU. And he began to wonder if a racing team could teach a hospital how to run an emergency room. Imagine the pushback from the trained medical staff when the McLaren and Ferrari racing teams showed up to advise them on how to improve their emergency services. After all, what did they know about surgery or patient care? Nothing. But what did they know about speeding up complex processes? Everything. As a result, after visiting with the Formula One racing team, the hospital staff initiated major changes, including better training, new procedures, a step-by-step checklist covering each stage of the handover, and a diagram so that everyone knew their exact physical position as well as their precise task. The result was it cut their handover errors almost in half. See, the hospital team's problems were solved by a group of people who knew nothing about the practice of emergency room medicine. But the Formula One team's expertise allowed them to easily spot what the hospital team had missed. And the medical team had the humility and the teachability to learn from the outsiders. We're never too old to learn. Whether it's an emergency room team or a parent raising children, we all have things to learn. Sometimes the lessons come from the most unlikely source, like a Formula One pit crew, but there's always new things to learn. You know, just about every time I listen to another pastor or teacher, I learn something new about God's Word. Even with all the thousands of hours I've put into the study of God's Word over the years, I always find that there are new things to learn. It's not enough, though, to learn new lessons and gain new insights. We also have to share them. That's where this message comes in on Father's Day. There's always lessons that we can pass on to our children and our grandchildren. So I'm going to take you to Proverbs chapter 1, verses 2 through 6, that give us five lessons that we can continue to teach our families. The first lesson is actually a lesson in knowing. Now, the Proverbs are words of practical teaching from a father to his son. They were not written down over the course of a day or even a year. They represent a lifetime of learning and wisdom. See, Solomon gradually educated his son in the practical things of God. Well, the first thing Solomon wanted his son to know was wisdom and instruction. At the beginning of verse 2, it states simply to know wisdom and instruction. Now, look with me at verse 7, the importance that Solomon places on wisdom and instruction. He says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." See, those who despise them, he says, are fools. A fool isn't someone who never heard the truth. A fool is defined here as someone who's heard the truth and has chosen to disregard it. Wisdom is a practical concept. The Hebrew word represents a manner of thinking and attitude concerning life's experiences, including matters of general interest and basic morality. It includes qualities like prudence and skills and moral sensitivity and experience in the ways of the Lord. It speaks of how we put into practice the knowledge and training we've received in our lives. Instruction here in this passage is also very practical. The Hebrew word in this case primarily speaks of discipline. A secondary meaning is education. So you put it all together and it speaks of learning the hard way from the lessons of life. Discipline teaches us how to live our lives God's way. Failure and error are schoolmasters in our lives. But a fool doesn't understand those two things. Verse 7 tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. To know wisdom and instruction means we first have to learn to know God. We have to have that awe and respect for Him that's expressed in the word fear. When we know God and when we fear Him, we develop the heart attitude that allows us to see life through His eyes. It allows us to think about life, to live life through the practical filter of God's word. It helps us to see the bad things of life as lessons that teach us even more about God. And so it starts with us knowing God. And then we pass those lessons that we've learned in life on to our families. Well, the second lesson here in this passage is a lesson in discernment. There's a lot of information available to us in our world. The amount is growing exponentially. Some of it's godly information. A lot of it is worldly. The problem is, how do we tell the difference? Knowing wisdom and instruction is a good start because that puts us solidly within God's sphere of truth. And if we're going to stay within that sphere, we need to learn to discern between right and wrong. Verse 2 of chapter 1 of Proverbs, it goes on to challenge us to teach lessons in discernment. It says to understand words of insight. My brother is an example of a lack of discernment. He attended the same church as Dixie and I did. Had the same opportunity to learn wisdom and instruction as I did. But he failed to learn discernment and the difference between God's truth and all these other truths. He knew the truth of salvation. He knew that the Bible is God's word. But it's taken him until just the last few years to figure out that not everyone teaches from that premise. That really hit home to me. During my second year in college, he gave me a set of some of the original Jehovah's Witness theologies because he thought they were really good books, and he'd seen them at the library. They were on this table, and he bought them for 10 cents, I think. But the thing is, he had no understanding of the differences between the Bible and Jehovah's Witness theology. He had little spiritual discernment. See, to discern something means we pay attention to it, we examine it closely, and we consider it from all sides and all angles. The filter that we use for the examination is God's Word. How does it compare to the teaching of God? Proverbs 2 tells us that if we cry for discernment, along with some other actions, then we will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. Verse 5 says, let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. As we practice discernment by weighing truth and determining what comes from God and what doesn't, we establish patterns for our children and grandchildren that help them to know the difference between truth and error. So teach them lessons in discernment. Thirdly, there's lessons in receiving. There's an old statement that says you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And that saying speaks to the fact, I think, that very few of us are receptive people. We get set in our ways, and that's the way we're going to be, and no one is going to change us. That's not just a symptom of older people. We're all that way. We all have our personal preferences. We all have our own idea of how things should be done. Sanctification is the doctrine that requires receptiveness. In order to grow in Christ, we must be receptive to God and His Word and willing to change to be conformed to the image of Christ. The sad thing is, if we are not receptive, then we'll quickly die of a lack of spiritual nourishment. And if we live that lack of receptiveness before our children and grandchildren, we're really teaching them how to die also. Receptiveness isn't natural for us. It's learned. Verse 3 says to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. You turn over to Proverbs 3, and Solomon fleshes this teaching out. In verse 1, he says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments." Verses 5 and 6, pretty well-known verses, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your path." Verses 11 and 12, if you go down to those, he says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, or be weary of His reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights." See, the idea behind all of these verses is to be receptive to God in all areas of our lives, receiving what God is showing us, what God is teaching us. And we pass these lessons on by example. If we're closed-minded, our children and grandchildren will learn to have closed minds. If we're receptive and open to God, they'll learn to be open and receptive. The quality of our life is the key. Well, the fourth lessons are lessons in giving. The opposite of a wise person is a naive or a simple person. And that's what Solomon speaks to in verse 4. He says to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Prudence means that we exercise careful judgment in regard to our interests. The main idea in this verse is if we give careful thought and consideration and prayer to all that we do, then we'll be considered to be wise. When William Jeffers became head of the Union Pacific Railroad, he became so engrossed in his job that he often didn't listen when people spoke to him. A locomotive engineer came to him one day with an idea for brake adjustments on some new equipment. Jeffers' casual answer showed he wasn't listening. His mind was on other problems. The old engineer looked at him for a moment and then started for the door and said, "Bill, don't ever get so busy that you don't have time to think." All the knowledge, all the discernment, all the receptiveness in the world are going to do little good if we don't use it. Bill Jeffers got so busy he forgot to think. And at that point, what he knew did him little good. If we don't take the time to be prudent, to apply common sense and good judgment to life, then we're bound to be naive. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 12, it tells us that wisdom dwells with common sense or prudence. It says, "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion." So take the time necessary to be prudent in your life. Show your family the importance of learning to give time to use common sense and good judgment in all that they do. Then the fifth lesson, lessons in understanding. The purpose behind this passage is godliness. Solomon wanted his son to grow up in the paths of righteousness, so he taught him how to be godly. The last lesson is to understand why godliness is so important in this life. Verses 5 and 6 again, let the wise hear and increase in learning. And the one who understands obtain guidance to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. You see, the book of Proverbs tends to put everything in black and white terms. You're either wise or you're naive. You either obey or you disobey. There's very little gray area here for us to squirm around in. We're either good or we're bad. The book of Proverbs is also very clear in pointing out that there's only two ways to go. There's the way of God, and there's the way of the world. You're either walking in one way or you're walking in the other, and Solomon makes it clear that God's way is the only right way. The Proverbs are designed to draw a sharp, distinct line between the two ways in order that Solomon's son could understand the world. He needed to know that the world is a battleground between these two opposing forces. God's way is the way of wisdom and discernment and prudence. The world's way is the way of the naive, the way of sin. It's the way of degradation. Each one of us has to make choices in that conflict. Which way will we choose to follow? One leads to life, the other leads to death. The problem is, the way of death is so enticing and persuasive. That's why we must teach our families to understand. Going back to Proverbs 8 again, verses 35 and 36, wisdom is speaking here. For whoever finds me, that's wisdom, finds life, and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. If we teach our families to understand eternity and the realities of spiritual battles, then the way of the world is going to lose its grip and its power. We must teach lessons in understanding. Well, the only sure way to pass these lessons on to our families is to live these truths ourselves. These qualities have to be seen in our lives. It doesn't work to live by the credo, do as I say, not as I do. Actions always speak louder than words. So the challenge for all of us who are fathers or grandfathers or who will one day be fathers is to live these lessons. Know the meaning of life and how to manage it. Discern truth by seeking God with your whole heart. Be receptive to God's working in your life. Give prudent thought and prayer to all situations. And learn and understand the eternal truths regarding the world we live in. And choose to walk down God's pathway. Those are the lessons from a father to his son. Pray with me. Father, we pray that you'll help us as men to be the kind of fathers and grandfathers that you have called us to be. To understand these lessons, to live these lessons in our own lives, and then to be sure that we pass them on to our sons, our daughters, to our grandchildren. Lord, it's so important that we as fathers take the lead in showing our kids what it means to live for God. So help us to be godly men. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.